This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, and you should. We love your emails. I'm going to get to a bunch of them tonight. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. We'll talk about what the Justice Department is doing with the aid of the GOP this hour. We'll talk about their commitments, the commitment of the communists and Republicans to filling up this country with illegals, and so much more. But I want to address this. This is something I finished up last hour. Maybe you're just now joining us. I won't read the whole email again, but guy, a veteran, multi-tour veteran, emails in and he says, I'm losing my patriotic self. I'm starting to resent certain things about my country. Even when I watch patriotic movies, ones I used to make me stand up and cheer, now I don't feel like that anymore. And he asks, can I say something to give us hope? Well, first of all, let's understand something here. Let's talk about this in a very, very frank way. Because I think a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people are going through this right now. I am, personally. So let's point to me. And I think we're all going through it at a different level. Maybe you're at the point where you hate the FBI. I mean, I hope you're at that point. It's a garbage, evil, secret police organization. Maybe you're at the point where you hate America. Maybe you've put your American flag away. I've had those emails before. Okay, I'm not there, but let's talk about this first. Why did you ever love it? And I hope you still do. I do. Why do you love it? Why do I love it, though? What is a country? What is a nation's purpose? What is any society's purpose of any size, whether it's a big mega power like America or a tiny tribe, tiny Apache tribe in Arizona? Why? What if you're an Apache in that tribe? What do you get out of this? Why do you live, work, worship, hunt, fight around these other Apache people in your tribe? What does the society? What does living in a society do for you? Well, it provides you with certain things. It gives you what? One of the main reasons people have societies at all, tiny tribes, big nations, is protection. Your society provides you with protection. If I'm an Apache, I would like to live by myself. I just want to just go do my things and hunt and do whatever I want, and I don't want to be bothered. However, if I'm out there living by myself, I am vulnerable to attack. Wild animals, enemy tribes, the Mexicans, the Apaches and the Mexicans were always fighting each other. Mexicans might come kidnap me. I have to have people around me, a society, because together we are stronger. That's what a society provides for you. And I will tell you, I'm only speaking for me. I don't want to speak for you. That's one of the things I have so appreciated about being an American. Part of this comes from, I love history and I pay attention to current events just like you. You love history. You pay attention to current events. How many places around the world are just scary? And you wake up the next day and you don't know. Look, how many places in Africa as we speak right now? Have you seen what's going on in Sudan? How many places in Africa? They don't know who's going to run their country tomorrow morning. They don't know whether they're going to wake up tonight to someone in some sort of a military uniform kicking down their door, executing him, stealing the wife for slavery, and grabbing his child, putting him in uniform, and putting him on the front lines of a war. People live that existence right now on the planet. You don't. I don't. And I appreciate that about my country. All the problems we have, and we have many, and you know I don't sugarcoat those problems. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow morning and have some rebel leader kicking in my door, stealing my wife, shooting me in the face, and conscripting my sons into the army. It will not happen. I appreciate I have appreciated. It's part of the reason I love America. America has provided for me safety. And I know safety is a relative word. You could get mugged tonight. But it has provided for me, for you, our families, safety. And I love that about my country. That's one of the things I appreciate so much. Okay, so there's that. What else do we appreciate about our country? Well, I appreciate a country that is respectful and protective of my belief system, of the things I believe. Here in the United States of America, I can take my family to church on Sunday unmolested. I will not lose my job for it. I will not be arrested for it. Or worse, these things happen all over the world. We take those things for granted here in America. Jewish producer Chris can skip on down a synagogue on Saturday and nobody's going to arrest him for it. Nobody's going to harm him or his wife or his child for it. I am appreciative that I live in a country that provides me with that kind of protection and that kind of opportunity and as respectful as it is of my beliefs. That's what I have loved about America, and that's what I still love about America. Okay, so that's just two things. I'm going to stop there because let's focus on those two. Now, because that's what I love about America, the protection, the respect of my beliefs, how do I handle it when some of those things start to fade? Not disappear, but fade. My government, as we speak, Republicans and Democrats, here it is. Here's a headline for you. GOP funding bill includes billions for a UN, United Nations-backed mass migration to the United States of America. I played you that clip last night of Alejandro Mayorkas bragging about the fact we are flying illegals in from other countries so they don't even have to cross the border. So my country, it is now intentionally filling itself up with criminals, making my family less safe. You know how I just talked about the protection America has provided for me? You remember that young lady? I'm just going to use her as one example. There are a million of these examples, but she's the most well-known recently. You remember Laken Riley, a beautiful young college girl who gets beaten to death in Georgia by an illegal. Do I still appreciate America the same way I did before? If I sent my baby girl off to college and I find out that Joe Biden released an illegal alien into the country on purpose who beat her to death, if my government facilitated the murder of my daughter by an illegal, do I still feel the same appreciation for the safety America has provided for me? No. I'm not saying it disappears, but I feel a lot less of it, don't I? When it comes to things like churches. Well, you see what's happening out there right now here in the U.S. of gay.
Why are you gay?
Everyone can see it. Everyone understands that America has a new religion now. We've completely walked away from God, and now we worship at the rainbow filth. That's what we do. That's the flag that flies over the embassies. It flies at the Department of Defense. It's the flag that flies all over the place. They paint the flags in the streets. If you happen to leave skid marks on it, they'll hunt you down and arrest you. Remember that one homeless dude in New York we covered a little while ago who took a pride flag and wiped his rear end with it? New York lets murderers and rapists out of jail with slaps on the wrist. They hunted that poor sap down in about 48 hours and threw handcuffs on him. A country that has grown hostile to me. Remember, the FBI is infiltrating churches. We know that now from the whistleblower and the leaked memo. So if the country I live in now is no longer as protective and respectful of my beliefs as they were before, then that starts to fade a little bit. That feeling of appreciation for that part of the country starts to fade a little bit. Now, you wanted me to make you feel better, to give you hope, so allow me to give this to you. Our government, our federal government, is evil. It is completely evil. Now, we export evil all over the planet. We promote evil everywhere, filth, degeneracy, you name it. There's no doubt about that. And let me tell you something, that's probably not going to get better. You know, you get Joe Biden out of office, Trump gets in there, it'll get, you know, it won't be as bad. But the truth is the federal government is filled with these evil commie scumbags. If we think America, if you, if me, if we view America as being the federal government, then we hate it. But that's not how I view America. It is not. I've been appreciative of the protections this country has provided me, but America is not the government. America is something else. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. We'll wrap that up and then we'll get to this Justice Department stuff and otherwise. Before we get to that, let's get to this. You understand that if you're a dude and you're down a lot, are you depressed a lot? You're down. And sometimes you find yourself down inexplicably. I hear this all the time from guys. Get home from work, kiss your wife, meatloaf on the table. Why am I feeling so depressed? Why am I down? Guys, when's the last time you had your testosterone levels checked? You know it has everything to do with your mood. You need testosterone. I'm not having kids anymore. Testosterone's about so much more than having kids. It's about the fog in your mind. It's about your mood. It's about logical thinking. It's about your whole life. And you can raise those T levels 20% in 90 days with natural herbal supplements? My goodness, unless it's money reasons, why isn't every dude listening on a male vitality stack from Chalk? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Let's get back to some other things here after I finish. I'm going to finish up my talk here about what is America now. You're losing your patriotism. Then we'll get to what the Justice Department's doing with the aid of the GOP and some other things. Also, keep this in mind.
She knew so long as she was denied.
All right. Now, okay, the federal government's turned evil. We got that. Set that aside. Because the federal government is evil, hostile to you, hostile to your country, hostile to your belief system, that doesn't mean America is bad. That means the federal government's bad. You say you can't, this guy who emailed in, and I'm the same way, you can't watch FBI shows like he used to. I was the same way. My whole life it's the FBI, right? Oh, look at that cool jacket, yellow letters, the boys in blue, the G-men. Now, every time I see them or think about them, I sneer about the disgusting secret state police agency we have in this country. But America was never the FBI either. It's about the people who live here. And if you are a person and you are despondent about where we are as a country, and you're losing your patriotism, I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong. I'm not here to judge you at all. But I do want to ask you, where do you live? And this is what I mean. I live in Texas. Texas is far from perfect, and I'm not telling you to move to Texas. That's not at all what I'm saying. But I've used this example before. I'm going to use it again because it's one of the great examples. Our kids go to a church camp every summer that they have down here in Texas. Actually, we didn't go this year. We're bad people. I know. We didn't go. We did something else. But every year since we got down here, except for this year, our kids go to this church camp. And it's one of these all, you know, it's all boys stuff. They're shooting, they're fishing, they're wrestling, they're doing all kinds of stuff. And only it's a Christian-based church camp. Every single morning, those kids gather around the flagpole and they pray for America and they sing the national anthem and say the Pledge of Allegiance as the flag goes up. And every single evening, they gather around that flagpole and do the exact same thing as the flag goes down. They're catching fish. They're helping each other. They're learning how to be good citizens. They're unbelievably well-mannered, hardworking, kind children. and their parents. You always have to get together with all the parents at the end. It's brutal. You have to talk to people. It's just the worst. But you do, you have to talk to all these parents at the end. And when you get together with these people, you know, I spend my life with all this filth that you spend with the headlines and this guy sucks and Biden sucks and the DOJ and the FBI and things like that. But then you go talk to these normal people and you realize that there are millions and millions and millions and millions of Americans who think just like you think, and they want the kind of country you want. That's what America is now. Is it everywhere in America? No. Is it the federal government? No, it's not. Are there places in America where you have to kind of accept they aren't really America anymore? Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course. But that doesn't mean it's all gone by any stretch of the imagination. And back to what we were talking about before, about a country that provides protection, physical protection for you from outside invaders, about a country that is accepting and understanding of your belief system, whatever those beliefs may be. Yes, at a federal level, that may be going away. And it certainly is going away. I shouldn't say maybe, it's going away. But that doesn't mean it's going away everywhere. And if you live in these deep blue pockets, I mean, how many people are listening to me right now in San Diego? A lot. The show's huge in San Diego, which is friggin' awesome anyways. But if you live in a deep blue pocket, New York, San Diego, Seattle, a bunch of people listening in Seattle right now, I'm not even going to do the thing where I tell you to move, but you don't understand how many people in this country think like you think and want what you want, because that's not what you're surrounded with. You're surrounded with a culture that is hostile to you, and it will bring you down if you don't at least take time to visit other parts of the country that aren't like that at all. I got an email. I forget. I'm paraphrasing here. So whoever sent the email, you'll probably know it was you. But just know that I'm paraphrasing your email because I read it a couple days ago. It was their town instead of a big pride celebration. You know, every town isn't having some big pride celebration where we go celebrate the Air Force that day. There are towns across America. This town, it was Patriots Day. And it was all the veterans came out, and it was American flags, and they got up and they prayed and they sang the anthem and they honored the veterans. And these places exist. They exist everywhere. And if you, and we tend to do this nowadays, men and women, I would say men do it more, but maybe that's wrong. I'm susceptible to this, pointing fingers at me. We isolate ourselves. We don't want to go out. We don't want to go to an event. We don't want to go to a rally. It's so much easier. I mean, after all, it's hot here in Texas. I can stay in the air conditioning. Why would I go out? I got a good documentary. Oh, I got social media on my phone. We isolate ourselves. And if you spend all of your time on social media or even listening to the radio, if you spend all your time listening to the radio, everything sucks, everything sucks, everything sucks. And then when you're done with that, you get on social media and you're sharing things on Facebook. And oh my gosh, my liberal Aunt Peg is a stupid hag. And then because you live in Washington, D.C., you went down to the corner store. You saw 19,000 pride flags on the way, not a single Christian cross. You get home and you think, my gosh, everything's lost. But everything is not lost. There are huge pockets of this country where everything is still good. Or at least a lot of things are still good. All right? So keep on keeping on. Now, probably the worst possible thing I could segue into right now is something like this, but we're going to do it. I want to remind everybody that the red places are far from perfect, and they have so much work to do to fix themselves. John Cornyn is one of the senators from here in Texas. You hear me complain about him all the time, that useless flap of skin. You remember, in the wake of the Uvalde shooting, do you remember, of course, Mitch McConnell screwed us over like he often does and decided we needed gun control? Of course, the dirty commies jumped on a tragedy like they always do. Gun control, gun control, gun control. And Mitch McConnell, well, I guess we do kind of need some. And he put John Cornyn in charge of it. And John Cornyn linked up with the Democrats to pass gun control legislation. You remember that? Hopefully Texans do next time his primary comes around. But you remember that? Today, the federal government put out this little brag. Justice Department secures more than 500 prosecutions under new firearms statutes enacted by the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. That was the name of the act. Of course, what a name for the act. The Bipartisan Safer Communities Act. 500 people are now rung up on federal charges because Republicans grabbed their ankles for Democrats again to pass gun control legislation, and it was spearheaded by a Republican senator from maybe the reddest state in the union. So we red states have much, much, much work to do ourselves, okay? All right. Now, there's something else that I think will make you feel better. It's easy to get down this day and age because of pain. But look, we all experience it. Everyone experiences it. Maybe it's your leg. Maybe you got a hamstring. Remember I had that left hamstring was bothering me for a while. Maybe it's an elbow, joints, muscles, necks, backs. You have this nagging pain. It affects your whole life, doesn't it? It affects your sleep. It affects your relationships. But it doesn't have to. You don't have to live with pain. Relief Factor is there so you don't live with pain. Here's what you need to do, because it's all natural. You call 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF, and you get 3 weeks worth. Just start with 3 weeks worth, please. Start out, take this stuff every day for 3 weeks. Then tell me how your everyday pain feels. It supports your body's natural response to inflammation. 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. All right? We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, and you should. We love your emails. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, I'm only writing this email to vent frustrations. The subject of this one is I feel like a failure that I can't bring myself to admit out loud to my family and friends. I had to console my wife last night after we both worked a long day. She realized she's missing our son growing up. We put him in daycare because if she doesn't work, we can't make the mortgage. We thought she caught a milestone, but was told by the daycare that, quote, he's been doing that. It shattered her. I work 10 hours a day. We don't go on any vacations and don't have a champagne budget. With the increase in costs of everything and the housing market being what it is, adding a second job still wouldn't even be enough. My wife has to work a job she hates to pay for a daycare service she doesn't want. The older members of my family were able to support their families with mothers in the home. I pray to God every day for direction and relief, but I just can't get out of this mindset today. My wife just wants to be a mother. She can't stay home with our baby, and it kills me. I feel like a failure as a father and a husband. God bless, he says. I wanted to read that because I get a lot of these, and you've heard me read different versions of it. I don't read all of them, but you've heard me read some version of that many, many, many times on the show from men and women. Jesse, we aren't making it. Jesse, I'm desperate. Jesse, the credit cards are maxed out. Jesse, my wife had to go back to work. Jesse, I think we're going to have to sell our house. Jesse, I'm sad. Jesse, I want to say this, and I don't know that it's going to be any comfort, but this is something that I'm personally going through, not the financial aspect of it right now, but personally I'm having to adjust something. I'm having to adjust, and I'm having a hard time adjusting how I view the life I wanted for my children and my parents. And it's difficult for me. So let me do the worst thing in the world and make this about me really quickly. I was always raised. I have wonderful parents, and I thank God every day that they are still alive, and I still call them and text them, and I can talk to them. I mean, I get to lean on my dad when I need advice. When I need something, my mom's always there, right? So I know how blessed I am. But I was raised in a house where you go make your own way. You go prove yourself. You get out and you go. And I bought into that all the way. And I loved that. And when I was 18, the second I graduated high school, gone. Never came back again. And I went out and did all kinds of stuff that they either didn't like or didn't support or whatever. But because I was going to make my own way. I was going to do my own thing and bust my butt. And I was going to be a success. And I moved away. And I went out and tried a million different things. And that's what I did. And so for my children, you've probably heard me. If you've listened to the show, how long have we been doing this, Chris? 6 years now? If you've been listening to the show for a long time, you might even remember, I'm sure I used to talk about it. That's how I always talked about my children, my boys, that I was going to raise them. I had every intention, raised them for 18 years, and then I'm not disowning them or something, but you get out. I'll have your bags packed the day you graduate high school. You go fly, little birdie. You get a crappy apartment in a bad part of town. Get some roommates. I don't care. You're going to drive a crappy car. You're going to go live your life, and you're going to get out, and you go fly, because that's what a man does. At 18, he gets out. And as I look at the evil of the society around me, so much of it now, and frankly, as I look at the job market now and I talk to friends of mine whose kids are not 13 and 15 like mine are, whose kids are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and I find that they can't find work anywhere. These are college graduates. They can't find jobs. They can't find this. They can't find that. I have grown more and more understanding of the fact that my sons might live with me for a while. Now, I don't hate that because I love my little buddies so much, to be honest with you. It could kind of be nice having the little jerks around for a while. But that is a huge adjustment for me. The reason I brought that up in response to this is we are in rough times. And they're probably going to get rougher. You know, remember, all the things that have caused all this inflation and all this disaster, all those things are still not only in place, they're ramping up a lot of those things. It's just spending and spending and spending and spending and printing and spending. I don't think this will help you feel better, but we might have to adjust our expectations for life. You mentioned in there, we haven't taken a vacation. We don't take any vacations. We don't buy champagne. The normal American way has been what? You take a family vacation every year. That's a very normal thing to do. It doesn't mean you got to go stay at the Hilton in Hawaii. But when I was a kid, we were by no means wealthy. We would get in the car and we'd drive 10, 12 hours down to Myrtle Beach in Virginia and you'd stay in some crappy hotel near the beach. And you drag a cooler out there with mom and dad and you build sandcastles and you took a little family vacation. Certainly, obviously not, like I said, it's not first class, but it was great for me, family vacation. And now we've entered a period of time in America where both people have to work a lot in order to make ends meet. And maybe we've entered a period of time that I think might hit us all really hard. And this is kind of what I was alluding to earlier. This is what I talked about for me. Maybe we've entered a period of time where the next house will be smaller instead of larger. Maybe we've entered a period of time where mom and dad, I know we moved out. Maybe we should move back in. Or vice versa. Maybe mom and dad, maybe they're on fixed income. Social Security check isn't going as far as it used to. Maybe it's time for mom and dad to move in with us. I had a talk with my mom about this over the weekend. Hey, what about this? What about that? Hey, we've got an extra room. What about that? Don't get me wrong, my parents are fine, but we had to talk about that. Maybe I, because of how things are fading and kind of crumbling around us, maybe I need to make adjustments on how I view life and the life my children are going to have and the life my parents are going to have. You said you feel like a failure, and I get this a lot. You are not a failure because society around you is failing and crumbling. And because your wife has to work and you're missing things with your kid and stuff like that, dudes especially, I can't speak for women, dudes take that on personally. I've been there before. I have been there before, bills piling up, not making ends meet, not feeling like I am a man because I can't get it all done and I can't, and I have been there. So I totally get it. I have been there. My wife had to go back to work at one point in time because we needed the benefits. Had to send her back to work. We needed health care. Had two kids. This is just 7-8 years ago. She had to. We were out of money. I've been there. I know exactly what it feels like. It's not going to last forever. But even if it does, maybe our problem is our expectation level. You can't overcome a society around you, but you can get by and get through it. Maybe you are in a situation where it's time to sell the house and downgrade. Maybe it's there. Maybe you're there. Maybe your kids are going to live with you until they're 30 and find a wife. Maybe that's life now. Maybe mine will. I'm not pointing fingers. That might be me. Maybe our expectation level is what needs to change. But do not feel like a failure. Keep on keeping on, and I have no doubt you two are great parents, all right? And look, again, this is another reason I talk to you about making financial preparations a lot too. I don't know what's coming financially. And you don't have to look far to find some doom and gloom economist who tells you that we are about to be smashed. I saw some guys saying 2026 is going to be the year. It's going to be worse than the 2008 recession. And I mean, it was dark. And he certainly sounded like he knew what he was talking about. And you know my thoughts in the economy. I just don't see how we can recover when they won't stop spending or inflating. But this is why you get some precious metals in your hands, just in case. Maybe that's an adjustment. Maybe we need to figure out where we're going to put the gold coins or silver coins in the house. We don't know whether or not we're going to need them. And I pray to God we don't ever need them. And I hope your kids never need them, but they might. Maybe that'll be the most precious thing I hand to my kids, the guns and the gold. Call Oxford Gold Group. They'll help you with one of those two things. 833-995-GOLD, all right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. All right, let's dig into a couple things here before I get back to some email stuff. Let's deal with... I've been avoiding this the whole show. Joe Biden got up today and did one of his gun control speech things. Now, let's just fast forward through all the normal stuff. As we always do on this show, let's just get this out of the way. Enough of the nursery rhyme conservatism stuff where we're confused every time. I don't understand. Don't Democrats understand that all these murders take place in the cities with a bunch of gun control? Don't they understand? Yeah, they understand. They understand. They're not out to stop mass shootings. They're not out to stop murder. They read all the data you read. They understand where all the murders take place. And they understand all that. Democrats, again, your liberal Aunt Peggy understands that gun laws do not work. They don't work. They've never worked. They will never work. From Joe Biden to your liberal Aunt Peggy, the reason they try to sell you on gun laws is they want the freedom to hurt you. I don't have another way to put this. It's just that simple. The people who run the West, especially Democrats now, because it's all Democrat run now, they have achieved so many of their goals. They've taken the institutions. They got their pride flags in the streets. They've destroyed the dollar. They're filling up the country with the illegals, crowding out the American citizen. They've run God out of the classroom and the country. They have done so much and they've achieved so many of their goals that, as I have explained many times before, there is one goal that is beyond their reach, and it is a central part of what they want done. They can never do everything they want to do unless they disarm you. They can't stand it. As I've said many times before, that calling January 6th an insurrection is insane, and here's why. The American people could take over the federal government, could storm into D.C. and take it over in an afternoon without a second thought. That's how many armed Americans we have in this country. It was unarmed, therefore it wasn't an insurrection. If it was an insurrection, you'd know it, because a lot of you would be dead and you wouldn't have control of the government. It wasn't an insurrection. And you know what? They know that too. When you cite these statistics about Americans having more guns and ammunition than every military branch and law enforcement branch combined, the Democrats know that too, and they hate it. They can't stand it. You and your guns. You keep them from doing what they want to do to you. And so Joe Biden got up today, and of course he had to give this little speech, which is a lie. Remember, this is not only a lie. This is a documented lie. This is verified lie. This is not true, but he can't help himself.
We need you to overcome the unrelenting opposition of the gun lobby, gun manufacturers, so many politicians when they oppose common sense gun legislation. I used to be a law, when I was no longer the vice president, I became a professor at the University of Pennsylvania.
He never taught a single class.
Before that, I taught a constitutional law class. And so I taught.
That's also a lie. Never taught a constitutional law class.
The Second Amendment. There's never been a time that says you can own anything you want. Never. You couldn't own a cannon during the Civil War.
Also a lie. You could own a cannon back at the founding of the country. In fact, the founders encouraged you to do so. All lies. Okay. But you have to lie when you're trying to disarm people. You have to act also as if you're really, really torn up about the mass shootings. Joe Biden, he's very somber whenever there's a mass shooting.
I've attended too many mass shootings. I've gone to too many schools across America.
Joe Biden has never once cared about mass shootings. They get real honest and they try to just level with you. You know, that's why they call all of their disarmament plans, they call them all common sense gun laws. It's common sense, after all. Remember, the communist is purposeful about his language. He doesn't stand up and tell you, you shouldn't own a weapon that has a 30-round mag in it because it makes me uncomfortable. Me and all my liberal white women friends, we get the skeebie-jeebies whenever we see you with that gun. And in fact, we don't like it that you have guns that would allow you to fight off the government. And we don't want you to have those anymore. They never say that. Of course, that would be a bad sell. So what's the sell? It's common sense. Common sense gun laws. They're very purposeful about their language. And then they throw out things like this that make gun owners just put their heads in their hands.
Who in God's name needs a magazine which can hold 200 shells?
I do. That's actually called a belt-fed drum mag, and they're fantastic. Why would you need something like that? Well, what if 200 people were trying to kill me? I'd like to kill them first.
Nobody. That's right. I remember when I was campaigning, when I was a senator, going through the wetlands of Delaware to meet all the people who were most upset with me, the fishermen and the hunters. And I came across a guy who was fishing, and he said, "You want to take my gun?" And I looked at him, I said, "Yeah, I don't want to take your gun. You're allowed to have a gun, but I want to take away your ability to use an assault weapon." He said, "What do you mean I need that gun?" I said, "Guess what? If you need 12 to 100 bullets in a gun, in a magazine, you're the lousiest shot I've ever heard of." And to his credit, he looked at me and said, "You have a good point."
That's, of course, a total made-up lie. He never ran into a hunter. He never had this conversation with him. This is another thing that Joe Biden has come up with on his own. Again, I want to caution you against using the same lame conservative talking points that the right has used forever.
"Oh, I can have it because it's my right. Don't they understand the gun laws?"
No, you want to disarm me. I don't think you should disarm me. I want to own weapons of war, including 200-round drum mags, because I'm worried one day I will have to fight the government. And that's exactly why the Second Amendment is there. It's not for deer. It's not even for robbers. The Second Amendment was put there so the American people could fight their government if it became tyrannical. That's why it's there. And of course, he has to drop this line, which is the most revealing line in the world. It should concern you greatly that this has become simply part of the communist language.
If they want to think to take on government, if we get out of line, which they're talking again about, well, guess what? They need F-15s. They don't need a rifle.
And we're going to talk about that before we get back to emails in just a minute. Before we do that, let's do this. What do the finance giants do in bad economies, or when they think a bad economy's coming? What do nation states do when they think a bad economy's coming? They're doing it right now. You can go look it up. You don't have to take my word for it. What are they doing? They're acquiring hard assets. Gold, silver, land, real estate. Gold, silver, land, real estate. You should be acquiring the same. Now, no, you can't buy as much as BlackRock can. We're kind of limited, aren't we? But you should be getting a hold of done-for-you real estate and finding a way to acquire a rental property. They will handle it all for you. They vet it. They have the best markets, the best properties. They secure the financing, the closing paperwork. They handle it all. But it's time to begin putting our money with things that are still going to be there in a couple years. Go to doneforyoujesse.com and find out what they can do for you. DoneForYouJesse.com. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.